Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, whether you're tuning in on the radio dial in my home state of Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM or WYADonline.com. We're glad you all could join us today, as well as tuning in through our online affiliates literally around the world, including our iHeartRadio family. We're glad you all could join us as well. I'm excited to welcome award-winning author and poet Shweta Vikram to our program today. Shweta is the author of a book that I had a chance to read called Louisiana Catch. We'll talk to her not only about this book, but also her love of words and what it's been like for her to share that. What is it that draws her to topics that are not always easy to discuss, but she kind of seems to run towards? We'll get into that a bit, as well as what she hopes you're able to take away from the new book. And of course, we'll let you all know how you can get it for yourself. And if you're just hearing about Shweta, we'll tell you at the end of our segment how you can stay connected with her. But Shweta, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me on this show. And it's such a joy, such an honor. I'm so excited to talk about Louisiana Catch and everything else, you know, about the book and the process. Yeah. So thanks for having me.
Look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Excited about the opportunity, too. I want to, first of all, get you to catch your breath a little bit, Shweta, because you've been really busy, not only, of course, in sharing the book. I know when I was prepping for this segment, one of the things that I was so impressed with is, of course, your passion for Louisiana Catch, but also, you know, the amount of work you've been putting into this. I mean, what has it been like for you to be able to see the hard work paying off when it comes to Louisiana Catch?
It's been exhausting, but I love it. I love every second of it. It's you know, you put in your hard work. Like, a lot of us, including myself, you know, we talk about this is what I want to achieve, but, like, we're so focused on the destination that we often forget what the journey is going to be like. So yeah. It's been pretty interesting. I've learned a lot. You know, I've failed some. I've had some good successes. So it's been very, very exciting. And, like, I think every city that I've done a book tour with, or every review, every interview, I've learned something more about the characters and the book, because, you know, every reader reads the book from their perspective.
Yes.
They see something
right.
that I might not have seen, because I'm coming from a different place, so to speak.
Right.
So it's been, and I think what's been really humbling for me is how much the book has resonated with people, men and women both, for different reasons.
Yeah.
People have found different things to connect with within Louisiana Catch. But it's like, you know, right from a survivor telling me that, thank you for calling us survivors and not victims, it empowers us, to a journalist telling me that, you know, she walked away from an abusive relationship after reading this book. So you just don't know, like, that whole power of, you don't know who your words are going to resonate with. So just keep doing your work and be ready to put in the hard work, because the entire journey is what is more exciting. Once you get to the destination, then you have to build excitement. But the journey is actually exciting.
Right, for sure. And I think, too, you know, it is so interesting. I know that it is a work of fiction, Shweta, but, I mean, one of the things that I thought was an interesting parallel to you that I heard you say in your own words is that you are a person that does not shy away from controversial topics, right? I mentioned that in my introduction.
Yeah.
I've heard you say that on a couple of occasions. Ahana, one of the things that happens in the book is there's a passage in there that talks about her running, you know, not away from people or her problems, but for the things she needed to sort out. I mean, have you always known that you were a person who wanted to be able to tackle topics that were not always easy to discuss?
Well, so yes and no. I remember, like, you know, when I go back, I think about the time, and I have, like, this eidetic memory, which is sometimes I'm told is a gift, but other times not. It doesn't feel that way, because I remember some things that I don't always want to remember, like most people,
right.
I guess. So even when I look back and I remember, I would, you know, as a child, I would, like, the stories that I was told about my childhood were also, like, I would always stand up. If someone was being another person, I would speak out. Or if I thought something wasn't right, from my perspective anyway, you know, I would speak up. So that has always been my personality. But as a kid, I think you're a lot more freer. So you pursue your own honesty in a very authentic way. But then as you're growing up, you seek outside validation. So even though I was miserable on the inside, like, you know, I was seeking outside validation, I wanted to do what others were doing. So even though I felt very strongly that I had to speak up and seek out, I don't think I always felt that support.
Right.
But as you get older, you find that confidence within you, and it speaks to like the thing that you spoke about, Ahana, that, you know, her discipline is the, and Ahana is the female protagonist in Louisiana Catch, that she goes for a run, and it's not to escape her problems, but to figure out things. So for me, wellness practice has been very, very integral to my writing. You know, having,
right.
Whether it's a dance class or my daily meditation practice or my yoga, it's almost like created the space from my thoughts and myself where I'm not seeking an okay from others. Because I tackle difficult topics and most people are not going to like it. But, you know, when I was younger, I wanted people to like it. Not like it, but to accept my choices. It's easier to accept a lawyer, a banker, or a doctor within the South Asian community especially. But, you know, a woman who's speaking about these issues, tackling these issues, people, they've already made up their minds that, oh, she's telling these stories, so this must have happened. So I think even also,
right.
like fighting all of that inner conflict of, you know, you can choose to believe what you want to believe about me. And so my husband has been very supportive. He always says to me that, you know, most of us go about our lives like it's a job, you know, we enjoy it, we are passionate, we get a paycheck. You figure out what your mission in life is, and that's to speak up. And don't let anybody turn you away from that. And I think that's been very, like a good reminder of what I'm meant to do. So have that confidence, like, you know, have a few people who've got your back, and, you know, when you hit the lows, they're for you. But just having that practice of what others think of you or others' opinion of you should not matter who you are. And just building
right.
that confidence really comes from creating that space, creating that confidence for yourself.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I think it's so interesting with Ahana, you know, there is an interesting exchange about that she's told, because she's not, you know, definitely not someone who is inexperienced in life, has experienced things, but definitely when it comes to one part of the book, and we will talk around this, Shweta, so we don't spoil it for those who haven't read it, she's told
right.
later, you know, that she needs to not be clueless. I think a lot of times when things appear to us and we're looking for a connection, we're looking for something to cling to, I think sometimes we do miss the signs. And again, I'll talk around this so I don't spoil it, but a big part of Louisiana Catch becomes that things aren't always what they appear around Ahana, especially when it comes to an individual. What was it like for you to have so many layers? Because another thing that I noticed, it's so funny for me as a reader and, you know, coming
mm-hmm.
from where I come from, I think I pick up on things, and I totally agree with you on this, Shweta, that I think we pick up on things based on who we are, where we're from, what our interests are, because I heard
right.
other interviews you've done, and I thought, oh, you know what? I remember that in the book. It wasn't a prominent part for me, but there are other things that are probably prominent for me that were not prominent for other people. I mean, is that also
right.
part of the fun for you, that, like, when you think about Ahana and the different things she dealt with, I mean, what has it been like for you to see how people do gravitate toward different aspects of her journey in the book?
So it's been very interesting. I spend a lot of time, a lot of my friends are psychotherapists, because I'm, like, fascinated by the human mind. It's just so incredible. So it's been, you know, so I spend a lot of time talking to them, and I've discussed my characters, and I sought out psychotherapists to develop certain characters, because I needed them to be complex and layered, but I also needed science backing my strategy, right? Or where I was wrong, to correct me where I was wrong. So to me, I just feel like, because Ahana has these layers in her life and there are different facets that people connect to, so their own individual experiences have attracted people to certain aspects of Ahana's life. So for some people, it's like her wellness discipline. Whatever happens, she shows up to a yoga mat, or she goes for a run, or, you know, again, not to give away too much about the book, but even when she moves, like her journey between New Delhi and New York and New Orleans, there are different aspects that people connect with. And to me, it's like, it's either those are the things you have questions about, or you're trying to sort that aspect out in your own life. Or there is somebody you care about who is dealing with that aspect of Ahana's life. You know, it's like there's some sense of familiarity, or there's some level of interest which is very driven by a personal agenda. And I use agenda very loosely here, but you know, the essence of it, like there is some personal motivation to connect with certain aspects. And oftentimes that happens, people start to read a book. And it reminds them, it's almost like a reiteration or revalidation of whatever they've been thinking about. So for a lot of people, like for the lot of survivors that I spoke to, they would tell me that, you know what, yeah, just the whole shame culture or this whole label around what a survivor looks like, what socioeconomic group they belong to, what do they dress like? So we hear a lot about, oh, what was the victim wearing, right? What time of the day was it? But I've also heard people say, oh, yeah, if that person is not on food stamps, I don't believe she's a survivor. So I think even like those kind of stereotypes, so people who were like offended by stereotypes, if someone is a survivor, just because there's not a bruise on their body because they've managed to take care of it, you know, either they've had the money to through surgery or the right makeup, doesn't mean they're not survivors. So it's right. Just these adding labels. It's really cruel more than anything. Like a survivor shouldn't have to defend, you know, being a survivor. It's not a choice.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think it's interesting you use that word, survivor. I want to get more into that, Shweta, because I think it comes through in another way in the book as well, and as well as a great lesson for our audience. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're already having a great conversation today with award-winning author and poet Shweta Vikram. We're talking with her not only about her new book, Louisiana Catch, but also what it's been like for her to share this story with the world to see the response, as well as, of course, the layers of the main character, Ahana. You know, you mentioned, of course, you know, being a survivor, and I think that comes through in a lot of different ways. People will early on find out how Ahana is a survivor, but also there are other characters that seem to test Ahana in ways to be able to push Ahana. Rohan is one of those individuals. What was that character like? Because throughout the book, Rohan is interesting in not only, of course, how we're able to find out different things about Ahana, like about her previous life, about her, you know, about her marriage. We're kind of able to get snippets of that from Rohan's conversation with her, but also even later when she's in, you know, a precarious situation, you know, later on in the book, he's kind of that voice that kind of gets her to kind of shake out of it. What was that character like for you to create?
It was tricky, I have to be honest, because it was, the intent was for Rohan to not be a mirror, but like you said it so beautifully, like he's almost like the voice of reason, who is unapologetic. Like Ahana's cousin Nana can be a little too strong-headed to connect with Ahana at times, but Rohan has like the right tempo. So just creating that character also, it tells us a lot about Rohan's own background, the baggage that he carries. And I am a big believer, and we're all a product of our childhood. Of course, you know, as adults, we have tools and, you know, resources available to us. So we can work with a lot of things, of, you know, like even the cards that we were dealt. But you have to be aware that, you know, something is off to be able to even seek out help of the sort. And I feel like with Rohan, the other thing was Ahana brings out a side to him that nobody else does. So it's almost like a symbiotic relationship where he becomes her voice. She becomes, it's almost like validating his existence because Rohan has grown up in a broken home. And Ahana is, so while he becomes this strength for Ahana to really find her voice, she also, I feel like, brings his broken pieces together because her life about her family and her experiences give him hope about what family can be. So it's very symbiotic how they feed off of each other without really knowing or realizing. And you don't realize until they never have a conversation about, oh, how you empower me. But they literally empower each other. It's because we are all, it's like, I feel like we are all broken, and I don't mean that in a dramatic way, but we all are broken in some ways. And it's through these broken pieces where the light comes in, that's where the magic happens. And so there are people who can, you know, make the cracks bigger and be not so supportive in our lives. And then there are people who shine in through like light. And I think Rohan is that light who shines in through Ahana and reminds her of the gift that she is, the power that she has, the strength that she owns.
Yeah. I think that is so true. And I think, too, the other thing that that Rohan reminds Ahana of, that's a great reminder for us, is that stop taking everything so personal, not making everything personal. There's another great exchange that happens later on in the book where he tells her, I've made a note, stop personalizing everything, which is not easy to do, especially when you – you know, even though Ohana really on the outside, we would think Shweta would have no reason to be, you know, to question her, you know, her own instincts, to question, you know, her actions. I think it's almost like all of us, right? We kind of want that validation that what we're doing is right. And when we feel as though that is being in any way questioned, we kind of become defensive, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in I couldn't agree more. And in Ahana's case, she's been so emotionally dependent on the people in her life.
Yeah.
Like that, so we don't see that overtly, but somewhere a big part of her psyche is seeking that validation. You know,
right.
I often joke about this, the people, like I say this to a very close friend of mine, you know, every time that she says, like, I don't care, I said, the more emphatic you are, the more you care. You just, like, you're trying to believe that you don't care. And
yeah,
that's the thing with
right.
Ahana. Like, I'm not personalized. No. Because she's never been given the chance, given her childhood, her upbringing, her background, her marriage, all of that, right? That there's always been someone there who's been making decisions for her. So her entire existence is about outside validation. Because she's never been really given the space until Rohan shows up where Ahana can say, this is right from wrong. This is what I want. Like you think when you read the book, she's like, oh, I'm very specific how I want things. But she is specific
yeah.
based on the way people have defined life for her.
Yes,
you know, what
exactly.
it means to be a good everything and the check boxes for the various roles. It's only when
right.
Rohan steps up and steps into her life, is there someone standing there to tell her, no, you are personalizing everything. And that comes from a deeper place of
right.
abandonment.
And I think it also opens her up for what happens to her as well. And then, of course, being able to come to the reality when it's kind of put in her face what's happened, I think it kind of makes that. And that's a different twist to the story, too. There's so many layers to this book, Shweta, as well. I have to ask you about surprises before I get into what I, you know, one of the big lessons that I picked up on that I shared with you at the beginning before we went on here that I think our audience really can get a lot out of. But I want to talk about surprises for you. I've spoken to some authors who are very, you know, detailed, you know, outliners of stories. What surprised you the most about the direction of Louisiana Catch?
I think it was a lot to do with the antagonist in the book. It could have
okay.
gone either ways. You know, like the core of me, it could have made turned it into a perfect rom-com ending where the bad guy gets caught and we all go home happily afterwards. But that was the surprise part for me, and I did write that ending at first. But then, like I said, I'm like really, really fascinated by the human mind. So I ended up interviewing some psychotherapists, and we got like into the layers, the you know, the mind layers of the antagonist, and what kind of pathology is this person dealing with, and within this pathology, what are the different routes that someone would take when they are caught. So I made it a very, almost like a very psychologically scientific ending. So that was a big surprise for me because it just felt intuitive, you know, bad guy gets caught, the good guy and the good girl, like, you know, they end up together. Everybody
right.
see, goes home happy. But that's not real life. And this is one of the things I've been hearing from everyone. This is a very real book. Everyone who's read it, some aspect of the book has felt like this was their story. So I wanted
yeah.
even the ending to be that, like, to be really that real. You know what? The reality is bad guys don't always get caught. We want to believe
right.
that because that gives us a sense of closure. But the reality is they don't always. And bad guys are often very smart. It's unfortunate that they use their intelligence for bad things as opposed to, you know, really help others out. They know their stuff, and that was another
right.
thing that, you know, we can't work with the assumption, like, just because the antagonist is the antagonist, he is stupid. No, they are really bright sociopaths and psychopaths out there, right? Like, I mean, look at Ted Bundy, and the list goes on. So, yeah,
right.
that ending was a big surprise for me, and I think the other way, it's a two-part answer for me. It was also the way Ahana deals with her mom in the hospital. Because I lost my mom a few years ago, and Ahana's personality is very different from mine. And I had to, like, add that distance to really be sure the way Ahana responds shouldn't be the way I responded when I saw my mom. So that
gotcha.
Was also very surprising that I, you know, I was able, through my grief, able to fathom a different kind of healing and grieving process. Because we make our, you know, grief changes us all, and we personalize our grief as like the most, you know, like nothing could be worse than your own grief. But then when I saw grief through Ahana's eyes and her dependability, it's like, no, everyone's grief. And that was a big surprise, that you become so much more compassionate about somebody else's grief.
Right. That's so true. You know, I mentioned to you, as I said, Shraddha, that at the beginning, of, before we went on the air here, there was a quote that stood out to me in chapter 23 of the book from Rabindra Nath Tagore. And the quote was, "You can't cross the sea merely by standing and staring at the water." I think it comes at a very pivotal point in the book, but I think it also is interesting as the book kind of climaxes. I think there's a great tie-in there, Shweta, to the women finding their voice and realizing they have a voice. So my question
right.
to you would be, I mean, that quote to me is all about action. There's a difference in talking and actually doing. How has that
right.
quote and quotes like that helped to inspire you in the work that you've done?
In every which way, and I'm so glad that you got onto that quote, because, you know, Rabindranath Tagore is one of my favorite poet and writer, and so much wisdom in those words. It's this whole conversation, you know, that we started with, like, people are, we are so much about, oh, I want to achieve this, right? But like, just talking about it doesn't help you achieve. There are steps. Coming back to the whole book tour thing, like, okay, I want my book to be here. There's so many things you can't control, but you have to make the effort. It can't, my book, I couldn't be talking to Cyrus today just because I had it in my head. I had to make that effort, right? It's the same thing. Like, that's been my life philosophy. You have to put in the hard work. And because I'm also a striving yogi, you know, I teach yoga to rape survivors, domestic violence survivors, and also, you know, just regular yoga classes. But one of the things I've learned is, like, you have to keep doing your hard work, but you can't be attached to the outcome. And it's written in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's part of the yoga teachings that, so yes, there is a sea, you staring at it, but you have to actually swim or get onto a boat to cross it. Just merely staring at it won't make things happen. So whatever your
yeah.
end goal is, you have to have your strategy, your tactic, all of that in place. But also to remember that just because you tried and you failed, doesn't mean you don't try again, or you can't get attached to the outcome of your effort. Like, for a book to be out in this world, like, you can't get attached. You write a book because I believe in the book, right? Or for any other author, but you can't get attached to, oh, this is what will happen with the book. These are the list it'll be on. You try your best. You really don't know when you cross that sea, what will there be, an island? Will you drown? You really don't know. So you can't,
right.
yeah. So you have to make that effort. And it's
yeah.
been the driving force in my life.
Well, it's a great reminder for all of us, Shweta. And I think, you know, too, you mentioned, you know, Ahana's relationship with her mother. I wasn't even going to get into that, because that to me is another layer of the story, especially as it comes full circle at the end. And she's looking at what she's done in less than a year, right? And you know, what she
right.
hopes could have been. And I think, again, that's another thing our audience will appreciate. I mentioned something else when I said that quote, and that was about individuals realizing their voice. Do you hope that when people not only read Louisiana Catch, but also look at the author and look at what you've been able to do, and, you know, traveling the world, sharing your work with the world, you know, both as a poet and as an author, that people will realize that they, that their skill, that their gift also will make room for them as well?
I certainly hope so. I'm a big believer, Cyrus, that if your work can touch one person's life, if your book speaks to just one person, that's all you need. That's all you need. Because you know what? One translates to more. But like, there are so
right.
many people on this planet, and we've all felt lost and lonely at some point, right? I can't imagine anyone can say, I wake up and my life has been like perfect, I've never felt lost or broken. We all have. And imagine
right.
on that day, if your story, your music, your art, your voice, whatever it is that you do, helps change that one person's life, how valuable is that? So it's very important to be focused, but it's also important to realize, like, things take time. That one translates to two, it translates to four, and it might not translate to eight, and that's fine. You still change four people's lives. So it's important to be mindful of this process, because how do you get success? You know, how, I mean, it's very difficult to get success. What success means to you might not mean the same thing to me. For me, it was very clear, like, being able to impact people's lives, being able to help women walk out of toxic situations, that was always been my, you know, goal with the book. Everything else is just icing on the cake. So I just hope people figure out what their goals are. You know, their goals need not be the same as yours or mine. Figure out what your goals are and just believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, there are enough people who will make you believe that you're not worthy. And there are enough people who are there to really, like, root for you. So the kind of energy we put out to the universe, that's the kind of energy that's directed back at us. So if you really believe in yourself and your work and the fact that you can really make things happen, start working towards it, but also start putting out that energy in the universe.
Yeah. I'm totally in agreement with you with that, Shweta, and I think we both are living proof of that as well. And it, again, it goes to that quote, you know, you have to be willing to do the work, though. I mean, you have to be willing to do the work, and the rest really does take care of itself. And it's that journey that can be so beautiful and so much that we can learn from. Again, everyone, Shweta Vikram has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Shweta. You know, as I mentioned to you, a half hour goes by so fast. You know, and it seems like such a long time when you say it. And then, you know, you begin a conversation like this, and there's so much more that we can discuss. And that's why we definitely want our audience to get the book, Louisiana Catch. You can find it in my Amazon store at CyrusWebStore.com. That makes it easy for you guys to be able to get it there. But also, of course, you can just do a search on Amazon, as well as Shweta does have a website. So, Shweta, let our audience know that website, how they can stay connected with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Cyrus, for once again for this beautiful conversation. And thank you to everyone who's tuned in and listening. The website is www.shwetavikram.com. That's S-W-E-T-A-V-I-K-R-A-M, shwetavikram.com. And all the details, my, you know, social media, we can love to connect with you guys on there. The book details, everything is literally, everything is on there. So, look forward to hearing from you.
All right. And to make it easy for you guys, those who are joining us online and through the podcast, we actually have put the link to Shweta's website there to make it easy for you all to be able to find it. And that way you won't have any problems there. But, of course, as I mentioned, you can find it there on the podcast link, as well as, of course, we'll have it on our social media as well. Shweta, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate you stopping by and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. It was a pleasure.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Shweta, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.